is natural law is ordered, grasped by reason. And so we've got large swaths of the population that are completely driven by emotion and not reason. And so the diabolic has access to the emotions.
Welcome to the Grace Force, everyone. This is the Grace Force podcast, and we're here with my very good friend, Doug Berry, and our amazing guest, Dr. Dan Schneider. So we'll get to all that in a second. We want to begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Doug, take her away.
Well, first, I got to thank everybody out there for joining us at the podcast. This is Dan, recurring guest. Amazing, amazing man. Now a doctor. We'll get into that in just a little bit, but I want to thank everybody out there who supports this through our emails and messages and, I mean, phone calls and just, you know, conversations Father and I have with people live, and it just cannot thank you enough. Really shows the support of so many people out there. Also the Patreon program. I definitely want to thank all you out there. If anybody's interested in becoming a patron, you can click the Patreon link below. And that is an enormous way to help support the work that we're doing. We've been doing this for a year now, and we're very, very fortunate, very blessed to have the chance to keep going forward. Many people behind the scenes that are engaged in this process to get this podcast out. So we thank you all for your support. Again, if you want to join the Patreon program, click the link and pray about that. We ask you to do that. We thank you for that. Also, don't forget the gear page. Go out to the official U.S. Grace Force gear page and get loaded up. Great t-shirts like the one Father Holland has on, the Under God t-shirt. We definitely want to remember we place our nation, place our lives under God. We also remember that we kneel for God alone, another great t-shirt design. And you can get coffee mugs. You can get all kinds of stuff out there. So please check out the U.S. Grace Force gear page. And that's in the link in the description down here below. You check that out. Also, we have really an important request for you. Two, one, subscribe to the channel. Help us grow this channel. Help us reach more people. All right, this is a great way, especially with everything going on right now, a lot of censoring in social media. Anybody's been following Father Heilman. Father Heilman's been in Facebook jail a little bit lately. He keeps getting himself in trouble, but it's for good reason. So we're going to encourage you to help get the information out while we have the time to do it. And I'm serious about that, while we have the time to do it. All right, there's a big election coming up. You may have heard of it. It's called the presidential election. And when that baby hits, we don't know the direction things are going to go. Some of us are pretty confident one way or the other, but it doesn't matter. There are forces out there, which we're going to be addressing tonight, about anarchy and the diabolical, that are really turning things upside down in this country and in this world. So we have to be on our guard, have to be doing what we can to get the word out. So please share this video, spread and grow this channel if you can. Let's help reach as many people as possible with gearing people up to be part of this force of grace that God gives us, and cooperate with God's grace, be part of that grace force, and let's spread this to as many people as possible. One more thing, Father Heilman. Today is the day, and Dan, our good friends with us on this, today is the day we are launching the Battle Ready Coalition. The Battle Ready Coalition, this is Monday, the 24th, that we record this. So by the time you see this on Wednesday, you're going to have until the 30th of August to sign up. We have a one-week window to sign up for this, and then we're shutting the launch down, and it's going to be focused on just the training part. The Battle Ready Coalition, as we've mentioned in the past episodes and through Facebook and our YouTube, other YouTube videos, is an opportunity for people to come together. Monthly training program, $24 a month. You sign up and you're going to get video production. You're going to get printable manuals. You're going to get Facebook team work. You're going to get live events. You're going to live Facebook events, and basically interaction, accountability, raising the bar to be prepared for the fight, body, mind, and soul. Now, this is nothing on the level of what someone like Dan Schneider does, Dr. Dan, the man, which is more getting into the real spiritual deliverance aspect of ministry work. This is the everyday average stuff that actually will help keep people like Dr. Dan and Father Ripperger from coming to your door. Okay. This is the stuff that gears us up and gets us ready for the spiritual battle, trains us so that we don't let the enemy in, all right? And that we're protecting and defending where we can, body, mind, and soul. So, I mean, Father Heilman, I know this is something you and I have talked about. You've been a tremendous support in helping us promote this, the Battle Ready Coalition, as a piece of training, even for the Grace Force members. I mean, what I know, just share some of your thoughts, if you don't mind, about how you feel about this effort that we're pushing forward here.
Well, it's absolutely needed right now. And listen, we're up to 76,000 people that are enlisted in the Grace Force. And we've said all along that what this is to get a force of special ops, you know, people who are well-trained in spiritual warfare. And also it does imply that you want to be physically well-trained. I've been working at it myself. You know, I was a big donut and I'm working at it, and you're inspiring me, Doug. And, but you know, body, mind, and soul, because why? I half joke that we're a part of the military. You know, we're a branch of the military, the United States Grace Force. There's a Space Force, and I'm going to tell the president, well, you know, you got a Grace Force too. You know, but what is it? It's spiritual warfare, and you got to go in strong, you know, and that does mean body, mind, and soul. And yeah. So we're training up. We're training up, and you bring with you, Doug, you know, what is it, like 30 years experience at working at this and studying it and working with people? And I mean, it's just a real blessing for the United States and the church. And I'm really grateful that you just stepped up and decided to do this. So very excited.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, it's great to see the response of the people so far who have, you know, the comments, the feedback, who have just said they're very excited about something like this. We're living in a time right now where a lot of people are struggling with simply hope. The church is really under a lot of persecution, and some of that seems to be self-imposed with shutting down, you know, churches and masses and sacraments and such. And this has just been a real struggle for people just to have hope. So the Grace Force, I'm sorry, the Battle Ready Coalition, and you can go out to battlereadystrong.com/coalition, or I think we're going to have a link. We have a link in the bottom of this one. We have a link in the bottom description here. Click there. And again, you've got until August 30th to sign up. And this is an opportunity, again, to hold each other accountable, raise the bar, and just keep that training going forward. Prayer, sacraments, scripture, know the basics of the faith. The Ten Commandments, for example, a lot of people don't even know the Ten Commandments, which is amazing. I mean, study encyclicals, that's important. Study documents of the church, that's important. But know that Jesus says in Matthew 19 to the rich man, if you want to enter heaven, you've got to follow the law of God, the commandments. And if we don't even know them and we don't study the depth of them and pray about them and embrace them and live them, then we're kind of in trouble. So the basics are essential. And so that's something we definitely focus on with Battle Ready Coalition. But we're also going to have some bonus footage as well. I know, Father Heilman, you're going to be part of that bonus footage. I'm hoping to get Dan, if he's willing, to give a little bonus footage for us as well. Dan, you're perfect for this because you're ex-military and you still work out, keep yourself in shape. I know spiritually you're in the thick of the battle spiritually with the work that you do with Libra Cristo and Father Ripperger and other exorcists that you work with. And you, of all people, can speak to what the importance is of being really in tune spiritually so that you can go into these areas of battle. And on the day-to-day, also on a natural level, because I know you're a Second Amendment guy and you're a fan of a man having the ability to protect and defend his family and his home. I mean, what are your thoughts about the importance of something like Battle Ready Coalition and actually training body, mind, and soul to be prepared for these battles that we all have to face?
Yeah, no, I love it because philosophically, the philosophers will tell you that man is a hylomorphic being, meaning he's a body-soul composite, and we can't neglect one for the other. You can't just be a gym rat muscle head that only works out and neglect the spirit, but you also can't just neglect the body and just try to live in this disembodied existence, angelic existence. We're a body-soul composite, and so we have to stay healthy. When I don't want to work out, because I'm getting older, you know, I used to live in the gym. I used to live down at the boxing gym. And now I work out because I want to stay healthy. I want to keep healthy to serve the Lord, to be able to serve my family and for as long as I possibly can. And one of the things I think that you're doing is we've lost the ability, and we see this dealing with cases across the country in cases of diabolic affliction. And one of the first thing that the diabolic does is to exploit the fact that most of us do not know the clean from the unclean. And so that is a very simple definition of Catholic discernment of spirits. What is clean behavior? What is clean speech? What is clean sexuality? you know, because the diabolic doesn't want us to see the difference. But the reality is the rules of the game are intact, whether you know the rules or not. So the more you know the rules of engagement, the better off you're going to be able to defeat the enemy. Oftentimes people think, I just had a conversation with a frontline parish priest. And a lot of the priests around the area and his area he's at have been compromised. They've been removed from the priesthood for various things. And he was feeling kind of fearful. I don't really want to step out into deliverance ministry and these other things, you know. And I told him two things. One, Father, I was over at a FSSP Latin Mass not long before the COVID shutdown. And the priest, as he was elevating the Eucharist, he had his fiddle back on and he had the chi, the Greek letter chi for Christ, the Christos. And so it looked like a big, huge X on his back. And the priest was thinking, oh, if I step out and do this, I'm going to be marked and the demon's going to come after me. He came after you the day you prostrated yourself and you were anointed as a priest of the living God. Yeah. And he comes after married men the day that we step out and say, we're going to be a man of God in the person of Christ. And we're going to image God the Father to our families. And so we've got to know not to be afraid. And we have to stand out and fight. And so I said, the second thing, Father, that is that I can tell you as a former fighter, you can never win a fight. Not even Money Mayweather can win a fight by not throwing a punch. You can be the greatest defensive fighter in the world, but standing back and covering and hoping not to cover yourself and not getting hit will never win a fight. You've got to throw punches. And so teaching men how to throw punches, how to drive the diabolic back. And I hear it again and again. Well, if I get involved in this with Libra Christo, or if I start engaging the diabolic in my home, I'm going to get targeted. I'm going to get pushed back. And here's what I tell them. Yeah, you're going to get hit a little bit. Because the demon's going to try to keep you down. Think about, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but I've been watching fights and fighting and training fighters for many years. When Tyson and Jones fight in November now, if they ever have their fight, most likely Tyson's going to come out and he's going to bum rush Jones because he knows that after three or four rounds, Jones is the superior boxer, okay, outside counterpuncher boxer. And if he can withstand the first three or four rounds, Jones has got a chance. But if Tyson can smother him and he can start hitting him heavy early, he can scare him off and wear him down quickly and go for the knockout early. And that's all the demon tries to do. He just tries to bum rush you. He tries to intimidate you. You have to push back and you have to start praying from a position of authority, whether that authority is as a priest of the living God or the authority as a man of God in your household. You got to pray from that position because that's first and foremost what the demon must respond to as established by natural law, the authority that God has established. So men need to learn. And dealing with cases after so many weeks of getting them through the phases of the protocol, I tell them, you complete this and I'm going to take you downrange. And they're like, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm going to take you downrange and I'm going to show you how to fight back. I'm going to show you how to shoot back. Because we have this idea that we just have to take our beating and offer it up. We're not allowed to punch in this fight. We're certainly not only are we allowed to punch, we're expected to punch. God's going to hold us accountable for the lack of punches that we throw. So I love what you're doing because it's teaching men how to use this natural, the nature of masculinity and the authority God has given us to provide protection, to provide coverage, and to do all the things that God has asked us to do in our homes for our wives and our children. I think it's fantastic.
Well, and what's also cool is we've had, I would say, I don't even know what the numbers are. I'm looking at we don't even know how many, what male or female. We've had a ton of women sign up as well who are on fire for this. And I think some of the women are signing up in part because they're not having that male leadership in the home that they know they need. And this is a way of maybe trying to bring some of this training into the home as well for their husbands, you know, but it's incredible to see men and women both excited about this. We've got some younger people excited about, we've got someone, I think he's in his 80s in a wheelchair. Yeah. Who wants to step it up and go a little further. And this is the great thing about it is everybody's recognizing, well, the ones that are signing up, you know, they recognize that there's a fight going on and they recognize, as you're saying, I think some of them, they've got to start pushing back more. They've got to start fighting back. And I think it's a great point you bring up, Dan, that a lot of people out there, I've run into this with doing talks on self-defense in church and so forth. A lot of people say, well, no, God just wants us to turn the other cheek and just take the shots, no matter what they are. Take the shots and accept it and just kind of almost lay down and roll over on the battlefield. And I say, you know, the only individual in scripture, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, Father, you would know especially, is the only character in scripture where God says, this is a man after my own heart, is a man who hit a guy in the head with a rock and went up and cut his head off. You know, so you got King David as the only one who's a warrior, and he's the only one that God said in Scripture is a man after my own heart, a warrior-minded individual, a man after God's own heart, which to me just cries out, God is a warrior. And I think that's in Scripture at one point, is that God is a warrior. But
God is a warrior, yeah.
Yeah, so we've got to get that grasp of that reality.
And a lady's a warrior. She's the queen of the army. So it isn't that women should step on the sidelines. Women need to engage too. I mean, there's nothing more frightening than a mama bear, but teaching women how to pray correctly. And the first thing that the diabolic does in the home, it tries to fracture the relationship between the male and the female to create a disorder in the flow of grace by disrupting authority. So that once the family, the couple is fractured or there's a gap, then he goes after the children. So to teaching people how to pray, how to get grace into your family through the sacrament of marriage. We think it's just this great symbolic thing. We get married in the church, all that stuff. Grace flows through that sacrament. This is how we are oriented to God. The diabolic knows this. The diabolic is going to come after Father different the way he's going to come after you and me. And so we have to be prepared knowing that it's the sacramental construct that's going to get hit. And so we have to shore up our defenses. We have to put our shields up, right? And know how to fight and know how to engage the enemy. And I think this is fantastic what you're doing.
No, awesome. Thank you.
Doug, yeah. When you were talking about this, you said one line in there that struck me, and it's always been a definitive moment that in my experience here in the parish where I'm at, is you said people will be reading encyclicals, okay? And, I mean, some people can't imagine that, but here's the thing. We stepped up our game here in our parish, and we opened up the treasure chest of the Catholic faith. And we started exploring, you know, what it means to be a strong Catholic. You know what I mean? Right. A strong Catholic, strong identity Catholic, loves what the church teaches, loves the beautiful devotions, loves the sacraments, loves it all, you know? And then we offered the Mass in a reverent way. Well, what happened was, is unfortunately, some of the old timers didn't like it. And I've always contended because the indoctrination was so strong in the 70s and 80s, okay? And their belief that Father can't be wrong, that that trying to restore a lot of this stuff, they didn't go for it. So I lost some of the old timers. But you know what I got? I got all these young people in, and I remember, and virtually all of them were just freshly married, starting their families. And we would get together, the guys, and we would have, we called it pipes and pints, because it was a fashion or trend around that time. That guys would smoke a pipe, but they'd only do it like once every 3 months, you know. But anyways, so we would get together and at my man cave in the rectory here, and these guys were on fire. And here's what struck me. They were all reading encyclicals. They were reading encyclicals. They're quoting from all these encyclicals. Well, why? Because once you get lit up, okay, once you say, God, I am all in, once you say, He's first in my life and let's do this thing. Okay. Then you're just craving, you know, for the more of our faith, the more of our Catholic faith. And that's where they were and are today. But I want to set that up. I don't necessarily need you to comment about that, but I want to set that up in contrast to what's going on in my town tonight. So apparently, just to make a long story short, there was a shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin. I saw the video and I do believe the officers did not have another choice. But of course, the media says officers shoot black man in the back. Well, they leave out while he was reaching for his gun in the car. You know. So, okay. And this is what I said. I said, please pray for my beloved Madison, Wisconsin. All reports say that, and I put it this way: the product of participation trophies, that's the name I gave them, plan to come out tonight and do more of their, and then I went, yawn, temper tantrums, okay? And I just feel like, okay, there's the stark contrast, all right? Because those guys that were reading encyclicals were roughly at the time, roughly the age of these people that are on the street right now. Yeah. What went wrong? Well, you know, what went wrong? And I said product of participation trophies. And I do believe that's true because, you know, I've been saying lately that that Jesus was no effeminate hippie. And for a couple of decades, that's what we made him out to be. But he said, listen, you want to be my follower? You deny yourself. You pick up your cross and you follow me. I mean, that's like a drill sergeant.
Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing I equated it to is a great dad. You know, a great dad helps the child to learn discipline, to learn that effort brings reward in our lives. Okay. And that's why I say the product of participation trophy, these people, I do think we really failed a generation with this new trend of, soft soaping them, just, you know, giving them everything they want and spoiling them versus, and I know these guys, all these young men that were coming into my parish at that time were agnostic, okay? Mm-hmm. They got college, you know, cut them off from their faith life, like a lot of young people. I always tell parents, I said, listen, your child lived in a devout family and then he went to college and now he's all of a sudden an agnostic atheist. I said, just wait till he's 23, okay? Because why? He gets out of the indoctrination factory and he gets into the real world and he starts thinking like an adult. Anyways, I'm going on and on here. But Dan, I mean, do you have your opinion? I mean, obviously I have mine with this generation that was coddled and spoiled. And I think that's what we're seeing out on the streets. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the contrast between anarchy is really what it is. It's a rejection of all rule. The opposite, right. You know, is hierarchy. The Greek word archos means rule, order. So to be the privative on archos means to be without rule. And this is what we're seeing on the streets. There's no rule. Right. It's just rioting. And the opposite is right rule through natural law, civic law, and also through hierarchy, priestly rule or holy rule or holy order of things. And so we're seeing a complete disruption of right rule, right order. And one of the things that the diabolic really exploits is natural law is ordered, grasped by reason. And so we've got large swaths of the population that are completely driven by emotion and not reason. And so the diabolic has access to the emotions of each of us. Why it's important for us to watch our emotions, to stay. This isn't that we're just robots, Stepford wives or whatever, but watching the emotions, because the diabolic has access to the memory and the emotions. And so we're seeing a generation of people on the street now, in many streets of some of these cities, that are being driven 100% by emotions. And what we see is this diabolic inversion of, instead of reason driving the will and ordering passions and instincts, we see now instincts and passion and diabolic inversion. Right. And we see this, you know, of course, in extreme cases of you know, satanic cults, etc., instinct is primacy. So that there is no ordering of the will. We see some Hollywood elites wearing a t-shirt that says, do what thou wilt. Well, that's the saying of LaVey and Satanism. That is their mantra. Instead of not my will, but thy will be done, the words of Jesus Christ, our Savior, surrendering the will, deny oneself, what you said earlier, Father, if you wish to be my disciple, and the Greek construction is very clear. It's a continual threefold commandment: deny yourself daily, pick up your cross daily, and follow me daily. And that self-denial is something that you said very clearly that this generation, of course, we're going to millennial bash, but you're absolutely right. We've been giving them trophies from the beginning. And so they have learned no self-denial. And so a little bit of discord, creates this emotional outburst that we have in the streets in some of these cities. It's very fascinating to see what's happening in the body politic. We see in individual bodies, in cases of affliction.
There's a perfect storm going on, isn't there? We're in an election year. We've got a corrupt and diabolical progressive left, or whatever you want to call it, that lives in moral relativism. You know, so in other words, the end justifies the means. So, I mean, you will do anything to gain power, anything. And we can get into what that anything is, but things like headlines where, you know, police shoot black man in the back, you know, and leave it there, you know, for everybody. And what percent of the population, you know, glances at a headline as they're going to the store, you know, it's a large percent. So that's going on at the same time. Of course, you got the virus and, you know, people are debating on, you know, what level of fear should we be in with this thing at this point. Again, you know, you wonder what's happening with in an election year with something like that. So anyways, it's just a perfect storm that's going on right now.
And then you bring into that the mix of the obligation vacation that we're on right now, Father, that you talked about. You know, now, you know,
right. Dan brought that up. Yeah.
Yeah, you did before we started the show, Dan, about, you know, like how serious is it? And I just posed the question. I know we've talked about it and we all recognize that it is, but Dan, your take on how serious it is that we've really kind of cut ourselves off and somewhat self-imposed to supernatural grace, where masses are shut down, bishops have gone along with that. You know, for whatever reason, we're not going to bash anybody necessarily. That's not the point, but that is the case, is that we've got churches shut down. Confessions have been shut down. Not a lot of people seem to be going on a regular basis anyway, percentage-wise, but now it's even less. Dan, your take on the fact and what Father mentions about, we got the political issue, we got the virus issue, the lies that have been behind that, numbers have been gamed, ramped up, all kinds of manipulation behind that. Recently, 77 NFL football players were found positive with COVID, and then they checked the test and found that all 77 were actually negative. But the, you know, news comes out that 77 are positive, and oh no, it's another feather in the cap of fear. And then they come back negative. But then on top of that, access to grace and people's willingness to not want to even go to mass if they don't have to. Dan, your thoughts on how that fits into this perfect storm that Father is talking about?
Yeah. This is the U.S. Grace Force. And we as Catholics need to understand a basic principle. This is what Father Ripperger's, the inner logic of what he's developed at Liber Christo. And that is this, that grace has the principal means through which grace flows into the world as sevenfold. And these are the sevenfold sacraments of the Catholic Church. This is how grace flows into the world. So if we eliminate the sacraments, we eliminate the primary flow of grace into the world. So we have, so less masses, less participation at masses, less confessions, less marriages, less, you know, no confirmations, no, some places, no anointing of the sick. So we've mitigated grace. And so now we've reached this tipping point where we have less sacramental grace flowing into the world. And as St. Thomas says, that evil, whether it's a natural evil, moral evil, et cetera, is like light and darkness. It's where there is an absence of light, darkness rushes in. And this is what we're seeing in our culture. And a lot of it is in part of the fact that we've had a lack of grace. And so therefore, I had an elderly gentleman call me not long ago and say, Dan, you know, he was watching the news and seeing this country being dismantled, watching the news. And he says, what should I do? What should I do? You were in the army. Do you know anybody at the Pentagon? Can you do something? We have to stop this. And I said, look, I'll give you advice. It's going to be two things. Number one, turn your TV off. Number two, get your rosary out. That because of the lack of sacramental grace flowing in the world, there is an imperative upon all of us Christians to be praying instead of watching TV and cursing our religious leaders or our secular leaders. We should be praying for them, praying that they're not unduly influenced by the diabolic, that they will not give into the temptation to power. That will not get into the temptation to oppress the people and overstep their bounds. Pray for the leaders in this country instead of, again, you know, Doug and I can hang up the phone and I can go to somebody and say, let me tell you something about Doug Barry. That might be absolutely true. And it's a fault of Doug Barry's or Father Hyland's. They talk about a fault of mine. But to share the fault of another is a sin of detraction. And so if I commit the sin of detraction, I now empower the diabolic behind that. And so rather than praying for our religious leaders and our world leaders and our government leaders, if we curse them, if we detract them, if we slander them, if we libel them, we're doing more harm than good. We need to be praying for them as Christians. We need to be, you know, this is this ancient, I think it was Hippolytus, Father, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was St. Hippolytus that says that Christians are leaven in society. Now's the time that we need, how are we to be that leaven? And that's going to have to be through prayer. We have to be a prayerful people. We have to commit more times. Catherine of Siena said, every Christian should pray 30 minutes a day, unless you're super busy or really busy. And then she said, you should pray for at least 1 hour a day. Scripture says the just man prays three times a day. And most of us pray, when you go to your new organization, you're founding to teach people how to pray. Most Catholics pray like this: Our Father, Hail Mary, gimme, gimme, gimme. If they pray at all, and they pray. And I say, well, congratulations, you pray like a four-year-old, because that's the way a four-year-old prays. We have to start learning how to pray. We have to start learning how our prayers project. We project into the cosmos our prayers. That this principle of prayer is that prayer begets that which it signifies. And so we have to not give in to fear, the temptation to despair, confess fear, confess despair, and give our hearts fully to Christ in prayer. And so that we can start loosening the grip of the evil that's kind of taken over our culture. Maybe that's oversimplistic, but it's, you know, as we see Joshua say, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, we have to stay at that level and just one by one, one house at a time, keep fighting back.
You mentioned if you knew anybody in the Pentagon, I just wanted to.
Showing off again.
You're a man.
Exactly.
You know, I got to emphasize one point you just made, Dan, which is just such a critical thing that you're right. We just don't think enough about that. To talk about somebody's faults, a sin of detraction, empowers the demons behind that detraction. I mean, because, you know, none of us ever do that. None of us ever go out and talk about people's faults. That we would never do anything like that in our lives, would we? But that, I mean, that's a really... That's a really common temptation.
I talk about yours all the time, Doug.
Well, I know you do. I've heard you do it on the air. So I, you know, but that is just a simple thing. And you're right. And it's so hard right now, especially because we've got all these reasons to do that with, when we see, I say this, you know, somewhat facetiously, because we have all of our politicians and all of our church leaders that we're so upset with, and we've decided to go out and just publicly slander them and just really draw attention to their weaknesses. And I know some of these things are just so hard for people to process and swallow. But you said that the demons actually use those opportunities when we open our mouths inappropriately. They jump on that stuff, do they?
Yeah. Well, we see this in, you know, one of the phrases that we use in the ministry here is evil militates to absurdity. And so we see when you're dealing with souls that are heavily afflicted, and Father probably would echo this, most priests hearing confessions, hearing a good holy confession, Father will find himself giving advice to a penitent that is echoing in his own spiritual life. Oftentimes we're dealing with cases and we see, even though this extreme absurdity of heavy diabolic affliction, the fight plan of the enemy is exactly the same. They're executing it against you and I as much as they are against somebody who comes to the church because of possession. So one of the reasons then we always buck modern psychology, and that is we tell the people that come to us at Libre Cristo that we don't want you to tell the story, because when you go to a modern psychologist, they want you to tell the story and retell the story. How did it make you feel? How did you react to that? How would you do it differently? And so what happens is you're recalling that memory apart from Christ, apart from your salvation, apart from the salvific power of your suffering, and you're just focusing on yourself and your own victimhood. And so that focus on the emotions of how you feel when you retell the story allows a diabolic to continue to hold there and feed those memories, these memories charged with emotions, and that continues to afflict the individual, and it keeps a foothold in there versus learning how to offer your suffering up for the person who hurt you, who molested you, who did this or that to you. When you can begin to offer up your suffering, as St. Paul says, I rejoice in my suffering, for in my body I make up what is lacking in the affliction of Christ body, which is the church, then we become true instruments of grace into the world. Then we become a true soldier in the grace force, and we become a light that brings the light of Christ into our own little community. But telling the story over and over again, we often too quickly fall into the sin of detraction. And the very name diabolos, right, the Greek word diabolos, means to cast between and therefore to slander. That at its root means to slander. So anytime we slander with our lips, we become a very attractive target to the diabolic. The demon looks for the mouth that blesses and curses. And so if we go to Mass and we receive Christ on our tongues, reverent, we pray to God, we pray the rosary, we walk out of Mass and we just bash the priest for his homily. We beat up, you know, so-and-so for, I can't believe she dares to come into this church. And I, well, look at what she was wearing. We have to watch all of our speech. We have to really be pure. Our power in the spiritual warfare really comes down to holiness of thought, word, and deed. And every time we tell the story of something that happened to us in the past that has been hurtful, we're bringing back all those negative emotions as opposed to bringing those to Christ and laying them down and linking them to the suffering of Christ and becoming Christ in our own whatever familial construct or whatever sacramental construct we're living in our vocation.
Wow.
You're actually bringing up something that I think is laying on everybody's heart as we're going through this perfect storm, as we've been calling it. But diabolos, it means slander. It also means division,
right?
To divide, you know, and that's his MO. That's what he does. He divides and conquers. Yeah. And everybody's talking about it. They're divided in their own homes, you know, over, sure, you know, Black Lives Matter, or, you know, is Orange Man bad, or, you know, whatever the topic.
Whether or not to wear a mask. I mean, we've been divided over wearing masks.
Yeah, or a red hat or a yard sign. Right. I mean, we're just clashing against each other. I in that post I talked about earlier about Madison, I'm looking at it right now, and I put in the words, we, divided. We're divided right now. And I said, friends, unless there is some revolution of overwhelming strength by people of faith and patriotism, we are headed for a very real civil war. You know, we need to pray as we never prayed before, because the division is so bad. And then what stokes the division, though, and this has been my thing all the time, is it's not that we're not willing to go and meet them halfway, okay, because... And so if we don't do that, then we're the cause of division, okay? All we're doing is staying where natural law is, where, you know, the truths of divine revelation is. We've been there, and we're just staying there, okay? So the division comes from those who are choosing to separate them from that, you know? Do what thou wilt shall be the whole law, is the satanic Bible. Well, once you get into that, then your truth is your truth, and your truth is your truth, and your way of believing, and blah, blah, blah. You know, then we're completely divided, right? You know, do what thou wilt is not the whole of the law. Do whatever he commands you is the whole of the law, right? We want to follow the word of God, okay? And this isn't just one voice among many. This is our creator, okay? And so once we were unified there, that's what that whole march was on August 15th here in Wisconsin. It was called Unite Wisconsin, because everybody was saying, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so tired of being divided. Right, Dan?
Yeah. 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 The word that comes to mind is the Greek word katholikos, you know, universal. One thing that unites us is our faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. Right. That should be what unites us. When I was a helicopter pilot in the Gulf War, I would fly our chaplain. I had a UH-1 Huey for a short time, and I would fly our brigade chaplain up to the front lines where we were a little further back, but up to where our ground troops were, the Bradley guys, Cav guys. And so I would fly him up, and he would have mass, and the guys would pull back, and we would have three or four masses on a Sunday so everybody can meet the obligation. But you had officers, you had enlisted, you had men, at this time it was an all-male unit, men of every race, every background. You had hillbillies from Kentucky, you had guys from the inner city of Detroit, you had everybody thrown together, and this is what unites us. But if we can allow that division into our church, then it's going to spill over into society.
Right.
We have to be very, very careful of that. We have to stay united.
Absolutely.
We have to stay together, united, and again, keep praying, because the demon, we see it. He divides at a root level. If the family is the domestic church, right? And he can divide that domestic church apart between the husband and wife, create disorder in the flow of grace. He can access the children. If he can divide the members within a family, then he can cause greater division in society. And we're just seeing this multiplied times, a million or 300 million. We're seeing the breakdown of unity, which starts in the family, and this is what we're having in our streets. And so the solution is not easy, but it's going to have to begin with prayer.
It's happening in our families. I just saw the report. One of my favorite people in the whole world, Kellyanne Conway, she has to remove herself from, gosh, she's just an amazing speaker. For one, she can just disseminate the truth like nobody's business. But anyway, to do what? She has to go home and unite her family. And I absolutely agree with her with that decision. They're all divided, and she's open about talking about it. And but we have to do that. And she has to do that. That's her first priority. And I think she's just an example of what's going on everywhere, all families. I've got some of my nieces and nephews that don't like at all that I talk about, patriotism and the truth and things like that. And God love them, I'll pray for them, but it's happening everywhere. And it's diabolical and the anarchy.
Well, that's it. Yeah. And we wanted to focus really on the idea of the anarchy and the diabolical. We see what's happening in the streets. And do you think that some people, are looking at what's happening in the streets, and they see that as the division? They see that, because I look at what's happening in the streets and even some of the chaos and the upper levels of what's happened in the church as really kind of the result of what has happened on a maybe more hidden level within family, that one has just led to the other. And as you just mentioned, Dan, things spill over from one area to another, because as the church goes, ultimately so does society into a large degree. Is this just the demons have found their way into bigger scenarios now? So after the George Floyd incident, people were just seemed to be ripe and ready for things to explode. And granted, there was some funding behind all that and some other, organization behind it. I don't think you get to the point where we are with so much chaos without these Marxist trained leaders, as they have said they are from BLM, behind a lot of this, but that hearts would have been ready to adopt this and run with it. Just seems as if the diabolical has gotten this idea of anarchy so ramped up and so prepared. But does a lot of this, where do you see the root of it? I guess is kind of where I'm going with this, Dan. Is the root of it, it's just out there? Or is it that families have been so torn up for so many years now that this has prepared so many, a couple generations now of people who are ready to just adopt and embrace this anarchist idea and just unleash and run with it?
Yeah, it's when reason will not allow one to accept right authority and rule, whether it be ecclesia or civil rule or authority, then emotions become the operant spiritual faculty, which is one of the lower faculties. And so when the emotions and the passions and then instincts take over, you have an unreasonable and by definition, an emotionally charged, but you could almost argue insane populace where they are completely rejecting right reason. And so I don't know where it began. I think it probably began at the beginning in the Garden of Eden where Eve, ate the fruit. But I think politically here, we see this, what most people have never heard of, Saul Alinsky in his book, The Rules for Radicals, a book that he wrote and dedicated to Lucifer, the first radical. And now we've got operants, of this beginning with the Clintons and earlier, and then into our previous president, people that are applying this Luciferian manuscript on how to overturn a society. And so what we're having is a Luciferian anarchy. We're seeing spurts of it. It's completely illogical. It's completely illogical to defund the police. It's just completely illogical. No right-minded person would want that. So a lot of it comes back to the very root. And so now, some even in the Republican side have learned, well, this is what they do, so now we have to do it. So what we have is the fostering of fear to drive the masses. You have large-scale detraction, libel, slander against anyone who stands up. Under the guise of free speech, we have complete chaos in our society.
Hey, Dan,
I'm not a social scientist, but it seems to be.
What's going on. You know, you're in the field now. You went from physical warfare to now you're in spiritual warfare, and you're very attuned to what's necessary right now. So the question I ask is this is, okay, we are in this perfect storm of evil that has risen up. I know that we decided it is our gut, our heart. I believe the Holy Spirit talked to us, but we got 2,000 people to go march down right where the rioting had occurred. And an archbishop and a bishop and several priests, beautiful girls, little ones that just received their first communion, their first communion dresses. And people that watched us from the sidelines that were down there, tears in their eyes. And the police absolutely said, bring it. They just loved that the Prince of Peace was down there and people of peace were down there. I think that's necessary right now. I think, we are talking about the supernatural. We are talking about spiritual warfare here. I think that we've got to be a visible sign out in the public square right now. If you can bring our Lord with, the appropriate, monstrance and this incense and the priests and all that out there, please do it. But, go out and just pray the rosary. I know I'm going to give a little picture because we're going to start talking about this more and more, but on October 11th of this year, okay? And that's the Sunday that's closest to October 13th, the Miracle of the Sun. We're calling for what's called Rosary Coast to Coast. And we're asking everybody to get their groups and go out into the public square. We're thinking about redoing what we just did on August 15th on that day in downtown Madison as well. We're going to do a rosary gathering out in Washington, D.C., right in front of the nation's capital. So put that, everybody, on your calendar, October 13th. Excellent. Do all that you can. But I honestly think this is you talked about the light. If the light's not there, the darkness comes in, right? The light needs to be out there. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the light of the world. I mean, we got to bring Our Lady and Our Lord out into the street, wouldn't you say, Dan?
Yeah, I think we're seeing now more and more some of the prophecies of approved Marian apparitions coming into the fore. And I think we're living in the age of Mary. We're living in the age where she needs consecrated souls who are wholly devoted to her, that are willing to be instruments and soldiers in her hands. And I would encourage every Catholic out there to read True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort. Consecrate yourself, become a soldier of Our Lady. Lay everything, lay your sword. You can't see in here, but I've got my cavalry sword and my cavalry Stetson up here. They're dedicated to Our Lady on the wall. She is my queen. She is the commander of our army. She commands Saint Michael and the angels, and we embark in spiritual combat in and for her to win souls for her son. And I think we must use all of the armaments of the Catholic faith, and not just, oh, let's just go to Mass on Sunday and let's say a few prayers and say grace before meals. We have to bring it all to bear. We have to bring, the teachings of the church, the catechism, scripture, contemplative prayer, meditative prayer, Lectio Divina, the divine mercy. We've got a massive, massive arsenal of weapons, and we don't use them. The analogy that I've heard a friend of mine use is, it says, as Catholics, we're standing in this castle, this monstrous wall, fortified wall, heavily armed castle, and our enemy comes out there with a stick, and he challenges us to a fight. And we strip all of our armor off. We walk out there naked with a stick and try to beat each other with a stick. Right. We have all of these armaments, right?
Right.
We have weapons at our disposal, defensive weapons, and it's going to be through prayer, that we're going to get through this, but we have to tap into the ancient teachings of the church. It frustrates me, and this is going to, it always triggers people, but we'll have an Acts retreat, and then afterwards they'll teach them centering prayer or some Eastern prayer, or we'll have yoga at a parish. But why would we neglect Teresa of Avila, doctor of the church, doctor of prayer, John of the Cross? Why would we reject the Benedictine tradition of Lectio Divina and understanding scripture from a meditative, and how scripture become a weapon? Meditation can become a weapon when it's infused with holy desire and prayer. We've neglected all these weapons to try to be modern, and it's not working. We got to go back. We fight an ancient enemy. We need to start using the ancient proven weapons of the church, including the Latin language and all the ancient prayers, litanies, the ancient prayer prescriptions of the church and the ancient formulas, and go back to the doctors and the teachers of the church who conquered the demon in the flesh. And learn how they did it. How did Maximilian Kolbe do it? How did Teresa of Avila do it? Louis de Montfort. We're living in the moment now that I think these saints foresaw, and we're living in that moment, and it's time for us to enlist, because there's no in between. You know, 10 years ago we would have been talking about apologetics. We've been discussing Romans 1:5. Romans 5:1, is it the subjunctive? Let us have peace with God, or do we have already peace with God? Are we already saved and once saved? Those battles are worthless. That's like playing paintball. We're up against an enemy that's shooting to kill, and we have to learn how to shoot back. And we're not only going to do that with the heavy weapons of the full tradition, the gravitas of the Roman Catholic faith. That's my observation from the battlefield.
And I like that the point you make about, you know, church approved Marian apparitions. You know, and I've been talking about that for years now, especially the last 100 years from Fatima to now. She has been casting warning after warning after warning out to the world. Yeah. And really, it always baffles me that more people wouldn't talk about them when you consider the ramifications, the consequences of not responding to her warnings are a third world war, as she mentions in Cuapa, Nicaragua in 1980, on October 13th, which is the anniversary of the miracle of the sun in Fatima. And of course, in Akita, October 13th in 73, she talks about fire falling from the sky and a great multitude of the world being annihilated. I mean, and then of course we had, as Father, you and I mentioned many times on this show, you know, what happened just within the last several months, where October 6th was where the alleged message from the angel to Sister Agnes from Akita was received back in 2019, less than a year ago, that we needed to put on ash and start to pray a rosary of repentance. And then it was right at that time that the Wuhan flu, you know, is announced and people start getting sick. And then, long story short, that's also the first day of the Pachamama issue that happened in the Vatican. And all these things unfolding. Well, Our Lady's been warning us of this stuff for a long time. And Dan, I agree with you so much on that point about, you know, I've done conferences and missions for 30 years. And I'm just going to have to hold this from now on, I think, when we're on the show. It just feels right now in my hand.
You should.
But you know what? We've been in all these conferences, the apologetics talks, I thought they're great. But right now, you're right. It's like paintball. It's like shooting BB gun. This is not what we're dealing with right now.
This is not time for laser tag.
Exactly.
This is spiritual.
Come on, baby.
Yeah. We've got to and recognize that when the Blessed Mother comes to the world and she warns us, she calls for the rosary to be prayed every day. And it's what, a 15, 20 minute effort? And people still can't. I mean, I've done this too in the past. For a long, long time, I haven't made the excuses now, you know, and that's by the grace of God. You just have to say, I got to own this. I don't care how tired I am. I don't care how distracted I feel. I don't care, you know, whether I got brain fog or not. I've got to plow through this powerful, powerful weapon, this spiritual sword. Ta-da! You know, and engage in this fight, because excuses are not going to cut it before God on Judgment Day. And they're definitely not working right now as we see things continue to spiral out of control on so many levels. I mean, I have a ton of hope, Father, that everything that you did up there in Madison with that procession is a phenomenal example of what can be done when faithful people come together.
Yeah, we're really hoping it's duplicated all over the country.
And it should be. And we got October coming up in a couple of months. Rosary Coast to Coast again out in D.C. 54-day Rosary Novena is going on right now. There's so many ways to engage. Look, the Battle Ready Coalition, look, this is in large part an opportunity for people to to get trained up for everything that we're talking about right now. And that's what we're doing in the coalition is nuts and bolts, meat and potatoes. Just hold the foot to the fire, be accountable to these very, very necessary aspects of our faith so we can be better prepared to engage in this. That is, I mean, it's just swirling all around us. I would say, look, if a bad guy is going to kick in your door in the middle of the night, do you have a plan to protect your family? Have you trained at all? Have you prepared at all? Do you have any weaponry at all for a natural enemy that may come in your door? It is not enough to say, I'm going to call 911 and hope somebody comes and saves me. All right. Now, on top of that, we're defunding the police and abolishing the police. And we have, I guess, in a certain way, defunded our sacraments, meaning that we have limited our access to them. It's kind of like sending the police away. Well, now it's like we're trying to close ourselves off from those things that can help us. But we have to take ownership of this, and we have to have that plan, and we have to train in that plan.
Nice. Yeah. Well, with that, we need to run. I know, Dan, you got to get to your next project. So let's close, if we can, with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Schneider. It was awesome.
Dr. Dan, you the man.
It's always a pleasure, a treat for me to be on the Grace Force and to just hang in there with you guys. To be a couple of great warriors, and you inspire me to keep fighting the good fight. And
yeah,
and so, yeah, I appreciate it. It's always great to rub elbows with great men.
And my parish is all over Liber Christo, and I'm just praying this thing explodes because it's so needed right now. So,
yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Awesome.